You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast. Aston Villa 4, Ajax 0. And you know what? I think to be fair to Aston Villa tonight, that was a real professional performance. It was a confident performance. It was a performance whereby I think the four people that we would have wanted to score goals scored goals today. And there are things that we will talk about that weren't ideal about that game as well. But a very professional performance. Like, I read a tweet that said, if you had said to me last year, maybe last November 2022, that Aston Villa would be beating Ajax 4-0 at home in about 15 months' time, I wouldn't have believed you. Never mind if you were to say it 5 years ago. So the journey this team has been on has been absolutely fantastic. And we're into the last date of the Europa Conference League, and long may it continue. But I went back and I said, or to go back there on what I said, that the players that needed to score tonight scored. And I think that that's fair. You know, Leon Bailey keeping up his fantastic run of form this season. He's just been absolutely immense. The commentators, I thought Lucy Ward was brilliant in commentary tonight. I think she had way more prep done than as a co-commentator than the commentator did. This, the bit about the jerseys, all the bits and pieces about the players. So fair play to Lucy Ward. About Bailey getting his goal. Ollie Watkins' header was absolutely sublime. Absolutely brilliant header. Like, I know the marking was lax, but you still have to put those in the back of the net. And goalkeepers should save headers from where he head the ball, but that was just a really, really good header from him. We had Diaby scoring late on as well. And then we had that absolutely take the paint off the crossbar shot from John Duran, who was his regular, chaotic, erratic self, which I absolutely love. And even down to the point where he took his chain off and shoved it into his boot as he came onto the field. Like, the guy is just, he just lives second by second, I would imagine, as opposed to minute by minute. That would be too long for him, so he lives second by second. But really good performance, I think, from Villa tonight. Diego Carlos, I thought, played well at the back. Pau Torres was his normal assured self. They thought the two fullbacks were really good. They really pinned back the wing backs of Ajax, and they never really got Ajax never really got a foothold in midfield. And you know, the guy that they had sent off in their Mansverk, I think, is that how you pronounce it? Like, he was chasing shadows for an awful lot of the game. His first yellow card was a silly yellow card, but it was a yellow card, for sure. like he was high on Diaby, and then his second yellow card was just a drag on Duran. And he gets his red, and then Villa at that stage kind of looked very comfortable, and they never looked like they were going to lose from there. But yeah, so I think a really productive night for Aston Villa, a night where Unai Emery could afford to take players off, brought on young Tim, brought on Omari Kellyman, Tielemans came on as well. Morgan Rogers goes off at half time. Clement Longley comes on as well, and obviously John Duran comes on, so he was able to empty the bench, which was good. And as I stifle Leon, which is good to see, because I think Aston Villa are going to need all hands to the pump this weekend against West Ham. West Ham obviously having a fantastic win against Eintracht Frankfurt earlier on means that their tails will be up, our tails will be up, and it should be a good game at the weekend, albeit we don't have the best records against West Ham. I will always think back to that game where the day after that my daughter was born in 2022, the day that Ashley Young was played in central midfield, and Aston Villa got beaten by West Ham, and that always just sticks in my craw every time we play them. So we owe them one for that day for sure, every time we play them. But going back to the Ajax game tonight, I just think it was a real controlled performance. Bar Matty Cash's one clearing off the line after a mistake from Moreno, I don't think there was anything really egregious that Villa did incorrectly tonight. I think they did an awful lot of good. Ollie Watkins, probably the only other thing was, excuse me, I am going to have you see on. See, we can all yawn together in this podcast. I hope, if I did trigger anybody else's yawn that's watching this, let me know in the comments, because I know yawning is contagious. But I think probably the only other kind of, want to call it a silly mistake we made, was Ollie Watkins' challenge on the goalkeeper, whereby he gets injured himself. Didn't look good there for a while, was clutching the ground, was putting his shirt over his head. All of the theatrics that you would see from somebody who's been pretty badly injured. Now, they strapped him up and he got on with it, and he was running around the field and he didn't look like it was causing him any issues. And then he pops up and he scores the header and runs off and celebrates. But I think after he gets the header, maybe he thinks to himself, look, we've got more games to play in this season, and asks to be taken off, goes straight down the tunnel. I presume there's going to be ice, there's going to be scanning it. Hard to know what it was. Obviously, recreational physiotherapy is not my bag, nor is recreational medical advice for anybody. So I'll wait and see what Unai Emery comes out with regards to that. But to me, it looked like it was a contact injury, and I hope that it's not too bad. Maybe it could just be a dead leg or something. So that one is interesting. But it didn't stifle him as he scored his goal. And as I say, I can't speak highly enough about that header. It was just really good. The way he manipulates his body in the air, I've seen him do it before. I've commented on it before, specifically for flick-ons. He does that. He jumps facing one way and manipulates his whole body, not just a flick of his head. He manipulates his whole body to get directional, to get that real directional change on the ball. And it's for somebody who started off in the wing, it looks like he's been taught to do that as opposed to that being natural. And I'm all for it. I'm absolutely all for it. When you see it in slow motion, you'll see what I mean, where he completely turns his whole body into the header. And that's a sparkler of a header. It really, really is. Albeit that he wasn't being marked, but, you know, big ups to Austin McPhee on that one. If he's able to create a system there whereby players can get space in the box for headers, well then, yeah, let's keep it coming. You know, let's keep it coming, because as we can see with Arsenal this season, scoring from set pieces, and as you can see against most teams that come to play against Aston Villa, scoring from set pieces is very, very valuable. Predominantly, I suppose, in tight games and games where you're maybe struggling to break down other teams. But after that goal, I think, you know, everything was coming up Millhouse, I suppose, for Villa at that stage. I thought probably Villa's, I'm not going to say worst player, but probably Villa's leggiest player out there, I think, and most lax player was probably Douglas Luiz, I think, which is not something that we would always say about him or ever say about him, really. But apparently, like, there was a lot of energy in midfield. Diaby, I thought, was really good. Diaby and Bailey linked up really well. There was a lot of movement from Diaby. He showed his pace again. That outside of the foot pass to, I'm going to say Bailey. It was a brilliant outside of the foot pass that was just intercepted as Bailey, I think, tried to get to it. There was a small bit of a spark from Diaby again today. I mentioned him in the pre-match in the team sheet tantrum, and I mentioned the fact that he's just been called up for France again. Maybe he got a pep in his step. Hey, he went out and proved it tonight. You know, he looked like the player we had at the start of the season. He was attacking that fullback like from the very first minute. He was giving Borna Sosa fits because Sosa likes to go forward too.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But Diaby was making him stay at home as much as he can. And Sosa is an attack-first fullback. I think I'm 90% certain I did a scouting series on him about 2 years back and when he was at Stuttgart. But he's an attack-first fullback. And then that drew the likes of Gerald Hatto out into that left-back position, which he's completely fine in playing. But I thought Villa really played around their back three really well tonight, and it was because you were able to do that with the pace of both Bailey and Diaby that you were able to manipulate that back three into positions that they didn't want to be in. You know, Hatto was superb and Kaplan were superb in the first game. Kaplan goes off injured. It was a massive blow for Ajax. Bring on Chuba Akpom, move Wrench back into that right full back or that right side of the back three, and they never looked as fluid, I think, or they never looked as stable in that back three then after that happened. But 90% of that was down to the movement of Aston Villa. And what I want to credit Aston Villa and John Duran and probably Unai, well, not probably, absolutely Unai Emery on as well. When Duran came on, they did change up the way they played. They went directly to him more than they, like, and what I mean by that is they went directly to him to his feet and to his chest area, as opposed to looking for flick-ons for him, probably more than they went to him Watkins in the last couple of games, probably because he's a bigger bodied striker. That made sense. Also, he was occupying somebody who drifted into the center of the back three. Was it Sotalo? Is that his name? Went into the center of the back three. And maybe he wasn't as used to playing there. Maybe he was more more used to playing on the right hand side. But I thought Duran did really good. You know, he bullied players. It was actually Sotalo, I think is how you pronounce it. When Duran got his shirt ripped when he was pulled back. After he put one wide. Now he had a couple of wild shots that went badly wide, but you'd be hoping that's just knocking the grease off or knocking the rust off, should I say? But he was his effervescent chaos agent self up there, which I'm all here for. As long as he doesn't end up getting himself sent off and stuff like that, hey, bring it on. You know, that is unsettling to see a big, huge man like that coming at you. And then somebody who can, you know, take the letter off the ball when he strikes it. And that goal was absolutely brilliant. I was watching, I can't remember what podcast I was watching. It was obviously a pretty big one. Could have been the Overlap. I'm not sure. It was one of those types of podcasts anyway. And they were talking about the lack of goals that go in off the woodwork anymore. That one you can surely chalk down. And that one was even better because it comes down, bounces behind the line, comes back up, hits the crossbar and comes back out again. So it had that extra novelty of being one of those pinball, screwball, scramble ones, which you know, he needed a goal. He's just back from injury. And that's great for us, you know, to have him scoring goals. And he doesn't score tap-ins. He just doesn't. So long may that continue. And if we need to rely on him in Ali Watkins' absence, well, then so be it. You know, we need to rely on him. There is no excuse culture in Aston Villa at the moment. And I have adopted that in my own way of thinking. You guys will often hear me say, I don't tell anyone how they should be a fan of the club. I don't even tell Paddy that. We've got two completely different ways of thinking about Speaking of Paddy, did he text me looking to come on? But thinking about things like injuries, thinking about things like, you know, positional changes and stuff like that. We've got two different ways of thinking. My way of thinking is that, look, it's a simple case. If Watkins isn't able to go at the weekend, it's up to the team to win. It's up to Unai Emery to come up with a plan for us to win that game at the weekend. We are a team that have a puncher's chance against anybody. But at the same time, we're a team that, if the day isn't going right for us, like it didn't go right for us against Spurs at the weekend, you know, the second half didn't, then, you know, we can show our frailties. But that's because we're a team that isn't fully formed yet. And if we go to West Ham, or if we play against West Ham at the weekend and John Duran is to start, well, then so be it. I have confidence in him creating chaos like he does, and confidence in him going up against Mavropanos or going up against any of their centre halves and bustling them around the place and getting involved with them and creating space for Diaby or for Bailey or for Morgan Rodgers. And that's worth its weight in gold as well. You know, that occupation factor that he has, he can occupy two or three people. He wants to go and get involved, like Benteke used to do, like Drogba used to do. And I'm sure if you were to ask him, you know, players that he's looked up to, I'm sure that type of player, you know, that that burly type of physical care, I keep on saying chaos agent, but that's really what he does. But he does it well because he unsettles defenders, and at such a young age, that's fantastic to see. And if we need to ride him at the weekend all the way to victory, then let's just do it. You know, I obviously want Ollie Watkins to be fit. I'm the original conductor of the Ollie Watkins fan bus. You guys remember hashtag Team Paddy, hashtag Team Neil, when the Watkins and Ings debate was raging on this podcast. I think it's still inconclusive, really, myself, if you want to know. I was always on Team Watkins and Paddy was on Team Ings. But obviously we want him fit for the weekend, and we'll see what happens. I haven't seen Unai Emery's press conference. I haven't even looked at your comments. I just realized, and there's 295 comments there. So I better open those up, because you guys might be able to tell me better than I'm able to tell you with regards to what Unai said afterwards and with regards to Watkins. I'm going to sorry, guys. I see there's nearly 300 comments, but it's only letting me see the last 50 for whatever reason. So if any of you guys have seen, have heard Unai Emery's press conference, let me know and see what the crack is there. Because see if he mentioned anything to do with Ali or with Diego Carlos there. And I'm not sure about Carlos being injured either. Like, obviously it's not great to see him go down, and he was kind of clutching at his leg, but I think that might have just been maybe some discomfort more so than anything else. Maybe he was just wrecked tired. Maybe he was just tired and needed a break, you know. So I'd be interested to see what the story was there, because I thought he was pretty good tonight. Well, better than pretty good. I thought he was really solid, really assured tonight for the little bit of defending that we had to do. And I'd like to see him back in this team, because he just brings something different level of physicality to the team that our other centre halves don't. So, yeah, it's really, really interesting. Hopefully, neither of the two players are injured whereby they're out for a long period of time. Nick Hemming says that Bailey said Watkins has an open wound. Okay, yeah, that's brilliant. If it's an open wound, hey, yeah, let's do it. Cutting his knee, that's fine. I live with a cut in the knee any day of the week, so he should be fine. Just a big cut. Michael Nash says Bailey spoke very well. Bad cut in Watkins' knee, apparently. Brilliant. Rob Henry's trying to get chance going, and I love to see it. See you in the Villa. Now go watch Neil. I'll take that. If every one of you can sing that in your living rooms, that'd be absolutely fantastic. Where else are we? Yeah, actually, you know what? It does make sense when it was a big cut, because do you guys remember when Douglas Luiz and Bailey were kind of standing over Watkins? Bailey went and he got bandaged, and he was like, it was like as if he was, I don't know if any, this is a crass example, but if anybody's been camping and maybe you get a roll of toilet paper and you have to go and you have to find the porta cabin, and you don't want to take the roll with you, but you just want to take some and you neatly fold it. That's what I thought Bailey was going to blow his nose with something, with the bandage, the way he was the way that he was folding it up. But if it was some sort of cut, maybe he was just trying to fold it up so that they could wipe some blood off somewhere or whatever. But that does make a bit more sense because, as I said, Leon Bailey looked like he was going to blow his nose at one stage with the bandage. And I was wondering why he was taking so much care with trying to fold it, to fold the bandage as it was. Any news? Did anyone mention anything on Diego Carlos? Ujit Singh says, in Carlos' case, was hoping it's just cramps for having not played much. Me too. I think, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure if it even looked like cramp. I think it just looked like he maybe just overstretched, but I don't think it was a tear or anything like that. He walked off and he was on the bench anyway, and he didn't seem to have any ice on his leg or anything when he was sitting on the bench. Another one who looks like he'd be absolutely fine, I would imagine. But that's great news. That is great news if it's a cut for Watkins. And Nick Gilbert is setting off all sorts of discussions after my toilet paper. Do you have your toilet paper going over or under? Here we go, Bob. There's comments coming in it already. Where else are we? Toilet paper over on. I don't actually even. What's the one that it looks like? Where it looks like a mullet. So that must be going over. Yeah, over. Why not? Is that why not? I don't know if there is an optimal way to hang your toilet paper. Please let me know because I'm touching 39 in a month's time. So, you know, if I've gone 39 years almost with not knowing the optimal way to hang my toilet paper, it's shame on me. But I'm definitely in the dark on that one for sure. I'm getting over as a criminal offence. this is devolved. This podcast has devolved. This one certainly won't be winning awards anyway. So in the team sheet tantrum, I was talking about mesh Wi-Fi systems and also how bacon and cabbage is the undefeated meal in Ireland. And in this one, I've talked about toilet paper and camping trips and whether it's over or under on toilet paper. So yeah, but this is why we need Paddy, so that my mind doesn't stray and I don't get led down dark alleyways of suggestion and gutter talk that I often get led down, which is good. where else are we there? I am just going to take a quick look there again, guys. I'm laughing at some of the comments now. This isn't going to be very good for anyone who's listening back to this one on audio. Getting back to the game as well, young Tim, obviously getting off the bench once again. He made one or two nice tackles, one or two tackles that he's got a really kind of distinctive way of tackling. If you watch it, he likes to try and come around the player at a kind of an awkward angle, especially if he's kind of trying to get at the ball from behind. I don't know whether it's certainly not conventional. I don't know whether it's going to be, whether it's a plus or whether it's a minus for him. I don't know whether he's going to see unwarranted yellow cards or whether some ref is going to look at it like a tackle from behind and give him straight red someday and we'll all be scratching our heads. But it just looks like it's an unorthodox method of tackling. But I thought he was grand when he came on. I thought O'Mari Kellerman looked the same size, same height anyway, as John Duran. Didn't look obviously as filled out as him, but I was surprised at how tall he was because obviously we've seen him in the Conference League and we've seen him in the early stages against Hibs and we saw him on the American tour. But I didn't think he was that tall, but he was standing beside John Duran. He seemed to look more or less the same height as him. But when he got the ball, he was looking to progress it. Now, obviously, Ajax were, what? They were 3-0 down at that stage when he came on, I think. And he tried one or two audacious passes, which were good. I'm not saying that they were wrong, but they were cut out. Like, if they had gotten to their man, they would have been absolutely beautiful. But obviously, Unai likes what he sees from him, and he scores goals regularly at his age group, albeit that the academy teams aren't winning a whole pile at the moment. But Kellerman is scoring goals, and he's looking like the threat and the prospect from that team. So really good to see him come on. Probably would have liked to have seen Ken Kester-Hayden come on. Like, if bringing a guy on at home, 3-0 up against Ajax as a right back, like, for me, I probably would have phoned. I suppose maybe if Diego Carlos didn't need to come off, maybe you can bring him on there for cash. I don't know. But either way, you know, it's only splitting hairs looking to get those players on the field to see what we have in them. Because we've never really, now we haven't seen much of Ken Kessler-Hayden since he's came back to the club in January. And of all the young players, he's the one that's really been kept in reserve that we haven't dipped into just yet. So maybe tonight wasn't the night for him, or maybe the Diego Carlos injury did it for him. But he's somebody I'd like to see some game time for if we are up in games over the coming next whatever 13, 14 games we have left in the season as well. I think that's really kind of going to do it for us, guys, because I could talk for another half hour on it, but I'm just looking at the clock here, and as I mentioned, I do have to run in a minute. But thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. I just looked at it there. We just show you 900 people watching this, watching me talk about Leon Bailey's folding techniques of bandages and things like that. So thank you so much, everyone, once again, for your time. I really, really appreciate it. It's a fantastic win for Aston Villa. We're in a quarter final of a European competition. Aston Villa, quarter final of a European competition. Who would have said that 5 years ago? So thanks so much, everybody, for your time. I'll try and get Paddy on maybe tomorrow once he's back, see what he thought of it, what the atmosphere was like. I've been texting him during it. He said the atmosphere was absolutely cracking before the game. So maybe get him on for 10, 15 minutes or whatever to do a podcast tomorrow. Maybe do a West Ham preview then on Saturday. We'll see what way it goes. But we will be back very soon. Obviously, with the West Ham game, there'll be team sheet tantrums. There'll be post-matches again. So please join us. And if you're new to the podcast, click the thumbs up. Subscribe to us. It doesn't cost you a penny. And maybe give us a like or a follow or whatever on Twitter as well, because sometimes we're good crack there as well on Twitter. But yeah, thank you so much, everybody, for staying up late to watch this tonight. Great win for Aston Villa. Hopefully the injuries aren't too bad. But for everybody, in the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Podcast Network.